The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72. It's the first show of 2017, so we wish you a happy new year. And, well, it is a happy new year so far anyway for the likes of Huddersfield Town, Leeds United, Barnsley, Sheffield Wednesday, Bradford City, Sheffield United and Doncaster Rovers all doing very well. Many of our Yorkshire sides, the only team doing not so good is Rotherham United, but no change there. We shall talk about the rest of the Football League as well, including Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to Owen Coyle, doing the double over Newcastle United. We'll discuss Nottingham Forest, where Frank Lampard could be heading in the Football League. We'll do good days, bad days, as we do every single week. We've also got the 30-second Owen Coyle. That names both of Tom Carnduff's features. He is the editor of the72.co.uk and will be with me over the next hour as we discuss all things Football League, including the transfer window. It's back open, so there's plenty of news and speculation to bring you. Yes, welcome along to the FL 72, Sam Bridges, and the editor of the72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff, busily typing away. Happy New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year. I was trying to type very quietly.
Yeah.
As quiet as I could.
Wasn't working.
No, it wasn't.
Is the happiest we get you during the calendar year, do you think?
Yeah, I enjoy the transfer windows. It's exciting.
It's when you come alive, isn't it?
I just live for January and... was it July the 1st to September the 1st, 2nd, odd, whenever it is. So it's exciting. It's exciting times.
Yeah, he has come alive, ladies and gentlemen. We have got a bumper transfer talk. We keep it going, bubbling away on the show. But Tom, well, yeah, as he said, he's come alive and certainly has so many bullet points in front of me for later on in the show. We've also got Football League news coming up where we will discuss Owen Coyle, as we mentioned at the top of the show. We're plenty going on... the start of the year isn't quiet. So we've had managerial changes. We've had some clubs making other changes. More on that later on regarding Burton, something that Tom has pointed out. A bit of fun for tonight's show. But first, we'll kick off with Yorkshire news. Well, Tom, it's been a pretty good Christmas period for all of our Yorkshire sides, really. I suppose, bar Rotherham.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems to be kind of the recurring theme that seems to be a pretty good season for most of the Yorkshire clubs. Pretty much, I think all the Yorkshire clubs in the EFL across the three leagues are having very good seasons, apart from Rotherham, and kind of peaked yesterday. I think it kind of showed the direction of two of the Yorkshire clubs in Leeds and Rotherham yesterday at Elland Road. Yeah, it's just not going well for him at the moment, is it?
No, not at all. But let's kick off with Huddersfield Town, who are, in terms of Football League terms anyway, top of the tree in fourth place in the Championship. Over Christmas for Huddersfield, two wins and a draw. Of course, drawing with Blackburn at the end of December. Winning on Boxing Day, though, against Nottingham Forest. And then wrapping things off on Monday with a 1-0 win over Wigan, away from home as well. So the Huddersfield Town now unbeaten in a number of games, going back to the end of November when they actually lost to Wigan. Things back to being very good for David Wagner's side after people questioning them for a while.
Yeah, definitely. They hit that patch, didn't they, where the results weren't going their way. They started to get a few losses under the belt. I think they didn't get a win in five, like you mentioned. I think that was kind of peaked with that Wigan loss. But yeah, it's great to see him back on track and getting the wins again, of course, with Leeds and Wednesday, especially two other Yorkshire clubs. I think just with everyone in that top six constantly getting results, not really many teams are slipping up who are in the top six now. It's really vital that they are getting these wins. And, you know, for them, I suppose, to be the highest placed Yorkshire team at Christmas going into 2017, after the first games of 2017, still top of that kind of Yorkshire mini league, as well as being fourth in the Championship, it's all good for them.
Yeah, I mean, most of the teams that had a positive start to the season are well in the mix still. Obviously, Huddersfield Town, Leeds United, who have really come on strong since October. Sheffield Wednesday have been there or thereabouts. Barnsley started off the season very, very well, had a bit more of a dip, but they're well back in it now in eighth place. So it is really hotting up, but particularly for the Yorkshire teams. Only really, you could say, Birmingham City, for the teams that started off very well, are really tailing off now.
Yeah, definitely. And you touched on there, Barnsley as well, only 4 points off the playoffs. So if they can get a couple of results and throw themselves into the mix, then really on for an entertaining promotion race. I think, 2 points between Wednesday and Derby, so not much of a gap there, but above that for Huddersfield, for Leeds to be 5 and 6 points clear of seventh place already with, 21, 22 games, depending on how many you've played left. It's really positive. It's good to see. And, you know, if Barnsley can throw themselves into the mix a bit, then kind of happy days. Happy days for us, of course, covering the Yorkshire clubs.
Yeah, interesting month ahead for Barnsley, because they've done very good recruitment in the summer. That they're a decent side. They played good football. And they were boosted, of course, by the John Stones transfer at the end of August. So potentially they could strengthen again, bring in one or two more and really consolidate where they are. Maybe a top half finish would be excellent.
I think so, yeah. I think it's the way you kind of look at it, as in any team going into the January window. For me, I think looking at that table now, Barnsley top six, I don't think it's too far away for them. If they can recruit and they can bring in one or two players, then they are realistically in with a shout, because one win and, you know, a Derby loss or a Wednesday loss, then they really are in the mix for a top six finish. So, of course, it all depends kind of what they're looking for, what their aims are now. But if they want to be ambitious, Huddersfield are in there, Reading are in there, Leeds are in there. I think they're three teams that many people didn't really expect to be top six. Then why can't Barnsley kind of sneak in as well and try and give the Premier League a go once again, but this time through the playoffs?
At Huddersfield now, seven unbeaten, two draws in their five wins. I suppose, looking at it, the only slight negative is they do have the worst goal difference of all the top six teams. You have to go down to Preston in 11th to find out that someone who's worse off than Huddersfield in terms of goal difference. If it is going to remain tight in that top six or top eight, that could be all important come the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely as well. This is kind of a point on Wednesday, who have struggled for goals in recent weeks, but I think more concerning for Huddersfield is kind of this January into early February run. Of course, the FA Cup against Port Vale, put that aside. Come back, Sheffield Wednesday away, Ipswich at home, Wolves away, and then Brighton and Leeds both at home. I think that's going to be a tough run. So you're looking at the goal difference, of course, but they need to get the results out of them. If they can get It's difficult to put a marker on it out of those five games. You'd expect wins against Ipswich and Wolves. If they can definitely get at home against Brighton and Leeds, if they can get the results there, then I think that's where they're seriously in with a shout at promotion. And of course, Leeds and Wednesday, playoff rivals, if they can get the wins there, then they are going to kind of extend that gap against the teams below them.
Yeah, huge month ahead for Huddersfield Town. Let's hear from the gaffer now. Here is David Wagner after that win against Wigan yesterday.
Pleased with that, David?
Yes, of course I am. Very pleased with the 3 points and the result. And as well pleased with the attitude, let's say the attitude. Maybe not the performance in the first half, but we brought the right attitudes into this game, which are important to be successful. So we had the right fighting attitude. We were patient enough, what is important against Wigan, who has their threat in the counter. We had the right balance behind the ball to avoid the counters. We weren't as good, especially in the first half, with the ball in terms of passing and the first touch. Technically, we had a lot of mistakes. And in the second half, where we had a little bit more spaces, I think then we created some moments, and one of this moment Naki put into the net, and I think this is why we at the end deserved this result. So we used the rotation policy again today, And this is another attitude which is important. Deliver if you get the starting shirt, like a professional. And again, today everybody delivered. Even our very young players. So we played today with Stankovic 20, Phil Billing 20, Tarik Holmes 21, Jack Payne 21. Our idea or our thoughts were in this game with 2 games in 3 days, not experience can make the difference. Fresh legs will make the difference. And this is why we decided to bring 7 fresh players into the squad. And great how they did their job. Again, it wasn't one of the nicest football matches I ever seen, but successful.
And 7 points from the festive games out of 9. You must be pleased at that.
Yeah, I am, of course, I am. So it's all about winning football matches, and at the minute we do our job. And I think for me it's important that we now got more points out of the first 2 games of the season than we get in the first part of the season, because against these 2 opponents, 2 difficult opponents in the first part of the season, we only got 1 point. Now we got 4 points out of these 2 matches, and this is something what is important for me, that we improve and progress as well in terms of the results. And we've known before how difficult these 2 games are against Blackburn at home, and today as well against Wigan away. And I'm very happy that we did exactly the right things to be successful, even when it wasn't, like I said, one of the nicest football matches ever.
Naki Bells with the goal again after picking up the equaliser against Blackburn. Are you confident he can stay in January, David? It's important he stays.
Of course it is important. Like every player is important for our squad. He did exactly what he is paid for as a striker. Like Danny Ward did exactly what he is paid for, to take a clean sheet as a goalkeeper. I think he did his job today, yeah.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. That's the Huddersfield Town boss, David Wagner. Tom, we shall move on to something which will make you very happy. Leeds United also in fine form. In the Championship. It's been a great Christmas, really, for Leeds. A 4-1 hammering of Preston, of course, on Boxing Day. A draw against Aston Villa, where they were very unlucky not to pick up all 3 points. And then a very clinical 3-0 victory against Rotherham United at Elland Road yesterday. They go from strength to strength, Gary Monk's Leeds.
Yeah, definitely. 2 losses in their last 12 in the league now. Of course, 13 if you throw in that Liverpool loss as well. But it's outstanding. It's great form for a club that I think there's always a lot of expectation on them, as there always kind of is with Leeds every season. Top six seems to be the minimum for a lot of fans, and they're actually living up to that at the moment. If you look at even the bookies' odds now, I think the Leeds are, I don't even think you can get them at evens for a top six finish now. So obviously they're the third favourite to do that. And there's a reason why, of course, in good form. And then looking ahead to their next 5, you've got Derby, Barnsley, Forest, Blackburn and Huddersfield. So not that bad of kind of a January, early February for them. And then for the rest of the season, really, a lot of the top teams have got to play come at home. So looking into the second half of the season for that final running, they've really got a chance of actually cementing a playoff place, maybe even pushing top 2. Who knows, that second half performance yesterday, I think, shows that they are kind of a top team in this league at the moment.
It seems like there is that belief within that Leeds United squad. And as you said, the fans starting to believe now. It does seem like one of those stories where everything is has come together for the club in a very short space of time. But they just seem so solid and able to get the goals required to keep winning football matches. So I, at the moment, it's very difficult to see where things go wrong, apart from the transfer business that they've got to tie up with some of these loan players, the likes of Janssen and Hernandez and Bartley, of course.
Well, I think that's a lot of people, when you ask any Leeds fan what January business they'd want to do. A lot of them are saying, well, just tie up the loan players to permanence. I think Hernandez has technically now left the club because I think that was his last game yesterday. Janssen, I think it's been kind of come out today that it's apparently 22 games, not 20 games for the permanent deal, but then there are talk already that that kind of is a permanent deal already. So it's positive. And then even then, one name that kind of surprised me today was Alexandru Maxim from Stuttgart has been linked with Leeds, Romanian international. Just shows kind of, I know it's transfer talk, but the ambition is there from the club that they are being linked with names like that. They are confident that they can get these loan players who have been so crucial. I know Janssen and Hernandez are the two, but Kyle Bartley as well has been outstanding. I think Janssen gets the headlines, but it is really Bartley who is the wall in that defence. I think the only undoing for Leeds is just the lack of centre-backs, the lack of defenders within the squad. Because going forward, it's a good team. I think that showed yesterday with the lineup that was there. The attacking players Leeds have got are great, but defensively, I think it showed against Villa. If there could be a potential injury, you've only really got Liam Cooper to come in. And then if it's a long-term injury, you can't really run in an entire or second half of the season, especially at the top end with only two centre-backs. So I think they need to tie the loan players up, but then they do need defensive reinforcements if they are to mount a kind of serious promotion push.
How many are they short then for you in terms of if they were going to finish definite in the top six? What do they need? Defender, striker, more than that?
I think, of course, the loan players, if you're being picky, fussy, you know,
to keep those.
The loan players really have to stay because they've been pivotal. It's not really been like kind of loan players over the last couple of years where some are in, some are out. Pretty much all of them have been crucial so far. But I think, like I said, defensively, someone to come in, and then I think maybe another striker for Leeds. Chris Wood's firing him in. I think he's got 16 in all competitions. But I think the next highest scorer is Carl Bartley, tied with Dakara on 4. And that's a bit worrying when, if something happened to Wood, I think the goals might dry up a bit. So if they can get a second striker to play alongside Wood in, then I think that becomes a serious promotion push. Then someone who can get, I don't know, maybe 8-10 goals in the second half of the season, then you're laughing and you've really got a good chance of maybe even pushing top two. Who knows? Burnley were fifth, I think, at Christmas last season, if I'm right in thinking so it can be done.
Yeah, most definitely. Sheffield Wednesday are a place below Leeds, 3 points away from them on 42, occupying sixth position, that final spot in the top six. For Christmas for Sheffield Wednesday, well, they've had a win, draw and a defeat. They've had two draws. And
two draws,
and
yeah.
Wolves yesterday, 0-0, 1-1 against Preston. A bit of a reaction there for Simon Grayson's side after being hammered by Leeds. And then a very good win on Boxing Day for Sheffield Wednesday, beating Newcastle United, who are now second place. Brighton, of course, taking over at the top of the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday, given what you said about Leeds and not having too many striking options, they've got an abundance, really, in comparison, but struggling for goals a little bit of late.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, compare it to, you know, Leeds in the place above them, that, and even Huddersfield, I think pretty much any team in the playoffs, the striking options they've got are fantastic. Just the squad they've got a very good squad. But like I said, they're struggling for goals. 0-0 draw, 1-1. Okay, they are getting, I think the most important is before that they were getting the wins, but they're only 1-0 wins. We spoke about goal difference. If there are days when you just can't score, sometimes your defence isn't going to hold out. I think they have been lucky that the defence has held out because they've only conceded one goal in the last five, I think, and that was in that draw against Preston. But it's a surprise they just can't seem to score. I don't think they need to panic and go, well, we need to bring other players in, because they've definitely got the quality there. I think they just need to really get out of this kind of slide, this struggle that they find themselves in, because, like I said, some days, you know, as they have been, you can't score, but then teams are going to find a way to get past you, even if you are keeping clean sheets in recent weeks. So I wouldn't say it's kind of a panic, but obviously it's something that they need to address if they are to stay within the top six, because Derby are only 2 points off them. And as we said, Barnsley, 4 points. Norwich, maybe on the way back up after that win against Derby, only 5 points off them. So goals really need to start coming for them.
What did you make of Carlos Carvajal's comments after the game? We'll hear from him very shortly, but he has had a bit of a complaint. Well, not a bit, quite a lot of complaint about the amount of games and the short break between the games, just 48 hours. Obviously, it's pretty much the same for everyone over the festive period. He's saying his players haven't had time to recover. Where in the opposite dugout yesterday, Paul Lambert is praising his team for how fit they were and the amount of pressing they did against Sheffield Wednesday. Carlos Carvajal's comments, is he trying to make excuses there? Is he right? What do you think about the recovery time of this festive period?
I think with a squad like Sheffield Wednesday's, they've got a massive squad. They're not exactly short of players. And you said it there. Everyone's got to do it. It's not exactly like Sheffield Wednesday have had to play more than anyone else. Everyone's having to play the same amount of games in such a short space of time because, you know, it's a festive period. And I think it's good because obviously people aren't working as much. More people can go to games. As they saw in that game against Wolves, it was a sellout at Hillsborough. And I think I wouldn't say an excuse, but you look at the facts and Huddersfield, Leeds and Reading, the other three teams in that, in the playoff places, have had better festive periods than Wednesday. So it's not really affected them, and I don't think their squads are as big. I wouldn't say excuse, but I don't think it's really a problem. And if anything, for a fan, it's probably better because there's more chance of attending a game.
Well, here he is. Here's Carlos Carvajal after that draw against Wolves.
Carlos, obviously not the result you'd have wanted. What did you make of the performance today?
No, not and the performance also is not what we wanted in the beginning. There are reasons to these kind of things happen. I'm not the person to excuses, but it's the same team, same player, same manager that we, 10 days ago or something, that we played in Newcastle and we did a fantastic game. We don't change, we don't lose abilities in this in these days. So things make happen the performance and. The first thing is to me and to, I think it was not a good game. I think my opinion to the both teams. I saw a little today Leicester against Middlesbrough was not a good game also. Playing 2 days with 2 days of distance make to the, all the coaches of the world, in this case in England, very very hard situation because you never know. It's a kind of lottery if your team will recover, if one or another will recover, if the player will be injury or not, if one will be with energy completely out or not. We never know. Also, the players don't know, and they play in the red line. And what I feel today, my players want a lot. They did the maximum, but what they think, they can do. So they do single mistakes that and passes that usually they don't do this. It means that they are tired, not tired from the legs, but from the head. But this is something that is not just to us; it's to all the teams. It's not excuses, but when we play with this panorama, we must change a lot of players. Or change some players, not because we want, but because we must do that. Because some players like Daniel Pudel, Glenn Love and Ross Wallace, for example, they are not with 23 or 24 years anymore, and the past of the players have some injuries, and so we must protect them in these circumstances. We play with the best team that we understand. Put some players that, for example, McManaman, that usually we never do this, put a player that have 4 or 5 days with the team and put him to play, but these circumstances make us to put them to play. Also, Kieran Lee with a risk about the pain that he have, he start the game from the beginning. But at the end, as I tell you, I think we did our best, but the performance was not, of course, was not good.
In the circumstances, do you welcome it as a point gained? In the circumstances,
I answered before your colleague. I think we achieve 1 point. We don't win 1 point. That's it. We achieve. I not say that we win 1 point because I think Wolves have chances. We have chances also. We start with 2 or 3 clear chances in the first half. They have also 3 or 4 clear chances. We have 1 or 2 more in the last period of the game. They have a reasons to a penalty. we have a reasons also to a penalty. To me, it's very clear the both, in my opinion. There are two handballs, but the first don't look, but the second was a, to me, was a very clear penalty.
You're saying that's the Lucas Yao one?
Yeah, where they give the ball. Yeah. The arm is out of the body, so right. the arm is out of the body. It was two clear chances. So the game was divided, and I think I can't say that we win 1 point. We achieve 1 point. It's completely different, in my opinion.
And you accept that Wolves should have had a penalty in the first half?
I think so. As I understand also that there are penalty to us, I think. The both, I think, was very clear to me.
Okay.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
There we go. Carlos Carvajal after that draw for Sheffield Wednesday against Wolves yesterday. Let's drop down, Tom, into League One and talk about Sheffield United and Bradford. Well, Sheffield United's form just goes from strength to strength. They are top of the league now by 3 points. Bolton, who've moved up into second place. A bad Christmas for Scunthorpe, who've been knocked off top spot with two draws and a defeat over Christmas, crucially losing to Bolton. But that's allowed Sheffield United with wins over Oldham, who were bottom of the league, Northampton and Bury as well, to go top of the table. And, well, answering every question asked of them, Sheffield United.
Pretty much, yeah. Five straight wins now. Last loss, which I think was fair enough, was against another high flyer in Bolton. Touched on it there. Scunthorpe hitting a bit of bad form at the moment. It's kind of the polar opposite to the start of the season for these sides, where Scunthorpe were flying, looked like no one could touch them, and Sheffield United struggled a bit. So it's good to see that they've turned it round. Of course, they've strengthened today, adding players. So I think, 4 points off Scunthorpe in third place now. It's not much of a gap, but it's a good gap to have. And just the way they're playing, the results they're getting, it's difficult to see them not finishing top two at the moment, because they really are flying. And I think, more importantly, the belief is genuinely there now, because, you know, said it about Leeds, it's kind of the same with Sheffield United in League One. The expectation's there to finish top six, top of the league. I think the way they're going, you do fancy them to go up automatically at the moment.
Come a bit quicker than what Wigan did last season, but similar in a way that it was a slow burner at the start of the season for Sheffield United, and the momentum has just gathered pace throughout the season. And as you said, now they're at top spot with the squad that they've got and some of the players they've got. It's very difficult now to see anybody really catching them.
Yeah, definitely. They've even kind of, since the start of the season, they've hit a bit of a patch of bad form, and then they went on it and started another winning streak, and they're back into that winning streak mentality at the moment. And like I said, there's just the strength in that squad. They've got a manager who's experienced success recently, of course, Wilder at Northampton, and then they've not got a bad running of games. Southend's going to be a difficult one next, but Walsall for them, they're not really going that well at the moment. And then even beyond that, you're looking at Gillingham, Fleetwood, Oxford, even Wimbledon. They're very winnable games for them. So it's all positive. And like I said, with the kind of next few games, I think, going out of January will be crucial. They've signalled that they are intent on strengthening their squad, as they have done today. So it's all positive at Bramall Lane at the moment. And I think they probably will be a championship club at the moment going into next season.
Yep, sitting on 53 points at the moment, plus 22 on the goal difference. Bolton at 50 points, plus 17. Scunthorpe, plus 25 with 49 points. Then come Rochdale, who have 45 points and five straight wins themselves for Keith Hill's side. So going very, very well. And then we have Bradford, who were on a run of four straight draws until yesterday's 2-1 win away at Northampton, so stopping the slide a little bit there. They've kind of had this problem, Bradford. They do struggle to score goals and maybe turn draws into wins, which have been evident from their recent form. But I think it's crucial now in January that they do some business. They've already made a couple of moves. Players have gone back, which looks like they are going to be doing some business.
Yeah, definitely. I think we spoke about Sheffield United's consistency, just five wins on the bounce for them. You mentioned it, four draws. It's struggling to find that good consistency. Okay, draws, you know, you win your home games, draw away, you're probably going to do well in a season, but they've just struggled to find that consistency. Before that, they were very kind of win-lose, win-lose, and, you know, that consistency needs to be in place. You need to win a string of games back-to-back if you are to be a genuine top six contender. Of course, not writing them off, still in fifth place, but you're looking at Fleetwood in sixth, Southend, Peterborough, Millwall, all within touching distance, all within 4 points. There are going to be teams looking to take their playoff spot. And like you said, I think they are going to be doing some business in January. They've already shown it, and it's quite crucial with kind of the teams around them really hitting a bit of form at the moment that they don't drop out of the playoffs. Because once you're out, it's pretty difficult to find your way back into the top six.
Yeah, they've very difficult to beat. Obviously, the draws tell you that. They've had 12 draws, which is more than anyone else in the division. Sheffield United have had 5. Scunthorpe and Fleetwood in the top six have had 7. And Bradford, they've lost the least amount of games in the league. Only lost 3 times this season. 2 of those defeats came in November as well. So obviously, they were unbeaten for quite some time at the start of the season. So it is just those little tweaks maybe now for Stuart McCall's side, and probably they are further ahead than where they should be, given what Stuart McCall walked into, the fact that a lot of the players had moved on and the squad maybe was in need of a little bit of an overhaul.
Yeah, it actually summed up perfectly there in terms of the losses. They're not losing games, but of course you need to be winning them if you are to genuinely be a top-end team. So, you know, exactly like you said, it's a couple of little tweaks if they can turn these draws into wins, because it's not like the results are going against them. They are picking up points. It's just not enough. And if they can, you know, bring in a couple of reinforcements in January, various names have been mentioned. I was thinking about this earlier when Ivan Toney, the Newcastle striker, was on loan at Shrewsbury. Mm. He's just gone back to Newcastle and they need a forward. I think he might be kind of a perfect fit for them at the moment. Whether they'll go for it, I don't know, but that's just...
Well, get on the phone, give old Greg Abbott a text. Yeah.
Well, he said I was good in his football academy, so maybe he might listen to me for signing advice. So, Greg, if you're listening, go for him. But no, it's good for him. You know, like I said, they are picking up the points. It's just not enough at the moment, and they're not far off. They're really not far off. A couple of wins, and they're kind of back towards the top two and pushing for potential automatic promotion.
And we have a Yorkshire side at the top of League One. We also have one at the top of League Two now, where Doncaster, a point clear of Plymouth, 3 clear of Carlisle in third place, and 7 away from Portsmouth, who sit in the playoff places outside of those automatic spots. So Donny going very well at the moment. Over Christmas, a win away at Notts County, a draw with Mansfield, and a win against Stevenage as well. So it's been a good Christmas for Darren Ferguson.
Really has, yeah. I think for Doncaster, it's a case of needing to go back up the Football League ladder as quickly as they can, or as quickly as they've kind of fallen down it. But yeah, they hit a bit of a rough patch before. They've bounced back from that, put together a string of good results now. I think they got 4 wins in a row beforehand. They're now on, 3 wins in 4, so doing very well. Tight at the top of League 2, so of course need to keep winning, extending that gap, and 7 points clear of Portsmouth in 4th. Of course, 3 teams go up automatically in League 2. It's a great gap to have. Keep building on that, then, you know, I think their fans won't care if they come 1st, 2nd or 3rd, as long as they're going back up to League 1.
Yeah, Plymouth's still 2nd, a point off Doncaster, but have had not the greatest of periods. 4 defeats in their last 8 games for Plymouth, losing against Barnet yesterday, and they had 3 straight defeats during November as well, losing to Grimsby, Barnet and Morecambe. So it's not been the best of times for them, and it seems Carlisle in third as well may be suffering from a little bit of the Bradford Cities, because they've had 10 draws, which is by far and away the largest in the top half of the table. Only lost 2 games all season, but yet are 3 points off the pace at the top.
Yeah, definitely. I think touched on Plymouth there, much like Scunthorpe in League One, I think their early season form is keeping them where they are, because they were just unbeatable really at the start of the season. They were picking up wins wherever they were going, so that's really helped them. And touched on Carlisle there, a bit of a surprise result for them, of course at home to a good Grimsby side who did get the win. But again, kind of like Bradford, they've been a bit hit and miss in recent weeks. And if you do want to be a genuine, well, top three side in League Two, you need to get some consistency. But regardless, they're all three of them are in good positions. Even Carlisle have that 4-point gap over fourth place Portsmouth, rather. So it's good. And then looking at the eighth, it's hard. You've got to work out the maths. You used to have in top six for playoffs. Now it's top seven. It's just throwing me. But Colchester in eighth, 10-point gap over them. So they're well into those promotion places. And, you know, all positivity. The results are coming, and that's kind of the main thing for them.
Yep, let's hear from Tommy Rowe now of Doncaster. Here he is speaking after that win against Stevenage.
Tommy, how important is it to maintain your composure and your patience when you're coming up against a side who's so compact defensively?
Very important, but like I say, you know, we've been working really hard on that, especially in training. That's where it all comes down. You know, the gaffer sits down and we do a lot of sort of media stuff, so we'll sit down and look at the videos together as a team and go through it in the classroom, so we can go into the training ground and it's fluent, you know. And when we do it on the training ground, it always transpires onto a pitch. Not always, but you know, 90% of the time you get it there, and it's just like improving. So yeah, the build-up's we need to be patient in it, and like I say, with the fans, I think they notice that now. Which sometimes it might be a sideways pass, but then to go forward, you know, vice versa. But we're getting there with the approach.
And how happy were you with how the game was going? Because the boss didn't want to make any changes. He seemed happy enough with how we were playing.
Yeah, I was very happy. There was times when we were sort of slowing it down a little bit. I thought we could have moved it a little bit quicker to switch play. We knew that was important because they were playing so narrow. We knew Stevenage played really narrow midfield. If we could get out in the wide areas, probably the crosses in the first half were a bit too deep, flat crosses, just to cause them a few problems. But we addressed that second half, and you know, I think over the 10-15 minutes we were a bit off it, but then we went at them and we attacked very well.
I know you touched on it earlier, but how surprised were you at all that you fielded so many players from the Mansfield game? Did you expect more rotations?
No, because you know, like I say, about the sort of recovery has been crucial. There's loads of methods that we've been doing individually and collectively to be in the best shape, and some of the boys coming in with different ideas, you know, pool sessions after games. It's good to see, and you know, it's encouraging when you've got all your teammates pulling in the right direction. There's no one sort of not wanting to better themselves, and I think that's what's amazing about this team, is the unity when it comes to sort of improvement. And I think when the gaffer and the club have invested in the players, they're the type of players that are coming in that have the same vision, that want to go to that next level. You know, you can't take shortcuts if you want to get there. You've got to do everything properly, and slowly, we're getting there.
Football chat and much more. The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Ever dreamt of becoming your own boss? Being able to spend more time with your family and see all your hard work benefit you, not someone else? Well, you can make that dream a reality with a Snap-on franchise. The world's number one tool brand, Snap-on, is looking for a franchisee in the area. You'll own your own mobile tool store, be provided with training and support, and keep 100% of your profits. Plus, Snap-on will help with funding. Drive your future. Visit snaponfranchise.co.uk to find out more. Snap-on. Giving you the tools for success.
At Oak Furnitureland, everyone knows our furniture is 100% real hardwood.
And it's also 50% off.
But most importantly, it's 100% real hardwood.
Yes, but don't forget, it's also 50% off.
At Oak Furnitureland, quality and price are both important. So make sure you don't miss our January sale, where everything's 100% real hardwood with up to 50% off. The Oak Furnitureland January sale must end this Sunday. Visit oakfurnitureland.co. UK to find your nearest store.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL72. We're just admiring Alan Stubbs' cardigan on the TV. He's back as a lad, showing his face in public after the Rotherham debacle, let's just call it. Let's crack on now and do the rest of the Football League news. Good news for Tom is that he gets to talk about Owen Coyle in this part of the show. And, well, to be fair, Blackburn need to be talked about, because against Newcastle, They pretty much didn't do anything in the first half,
yeah,
bar turn up, but yet they came away with 3 points and the double over Newcastle.
So accidentally winning, isn't it, for Owen Cole, but they needed that win. They were getting into a bit of a bad run of form now, only 1 point off Burton Albion in 21st, 1 point off safety, 5 points clear of Wigan below them, and then they're about 2.5 seasons ahead of Rotherham at bottom. So, yeah, a great result. Fair enough to Blackburn doing the double over Newcastle, who I think they were looking like champions, but now they're looking a bit shaky. But fair to say they probably will be a top two team going straight back up. Great result for Owen Coyle. Sure, he was over the moon and delighted to get the win.
Well, yeah, we can hear from him, actually, because we've got the second Tom Carnder feature to do. Of course, it is the 30-second Coyle, which if you get a pen and paper out and try and count the words
good
as
luck
they come out of his mouth, then, yeah, best of luck to you. Here he is. Let's find out how happy Owen was to beat Newcastle.
There was a couple of goals that Newcastle had that were rightly ruled off, but I think it's important to mention that because you know, first one clearly offside and the second one obviously for the pull and hold-back plan. So did we ride the luck? Yeah, I think in the first half Jason Steele had a couple of good saves. Second half, not so much. I mean, obviously the goals that were ruled off, but we were always a threat and we had some chances of our own. And the important thing was, no matter how we got the 3 points today, that's what was important, coming back at Huddersfield, because now the Huddersfield point is a great point. We felt disappointed that not to get the three. I said that before the game.
That's got to be the best yet for him.
I literally thought I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to count. And as soon as he got to, I think it was Jason Steele, which was what, 5 seconds in, I was like, yeah, I've lost already.
Away. He just came straight out of the blocks.
So, Owen, chill out. Well, can you blame him? This week, it's justified. It's justified, I think.
Yes, they are creeping back into contention, Blackburn. 4 points on the board over Christmas. They lost to Barnsley. They drew with Huddersfield, of course, and getting the double over Newcastle. And as Tom said, that puts them to within a point of Burton, but 2 points of Nottingham Forest, who, are 6 matches without a win now. The pressure on Philippe Montagnier. do you expect him to still be in a job maybe come February?
It's difficult. It's really difficult. They are struggling. Like you said, no win in six. 5 of those 6 have been losses. The only draw coming against Preston at home. They're really struggling. I think if they do actually drop into that bottom three, I think that's maybe when they'll look to sack him. But I know it's, we kind of use that phrase, well, managers are sacked too soon, but 25 games in, they really are struggling. You know, down against Blackburn, who we always thought were going to struggle, Wigan, Burton, who have just come up. It's not positive times for a Forest side who were kind of at the top end of the table only a few years ago. So it's worrying. And I know Montagnier says that he's kind of not worried about the speculation, but surely it'd kind of be in the back of your mind, especially with how the team are playing. The results just aren't coming.
Not at all. And they have other problems off the pitch, of course, with the owner and potential takeover talks. And Henry Lansby, the captain as well, seems like he is on his way. Derby have made a bid. There's a few other teams knocking around for him as well. And to lose such an influential player when you are in now a relegation fight, it is worrying times if you're a Forest fan.
It is. I think the Derby bid for Lansbury, I don't know, when we put it out on the 72 Twitter account, there were a lot of Forest fans who said they'd probably sell for that price considering the length of contract, but they just didn't want him to sell him to Derby. But I think since that Derby bid, it's kind of triggered a whole lot of other clubs to go, well, we're interested, we'll go for it. And yeah, it's worrying, especially if they do lose a Lansbury who's been a top player for them for a couple of years. I think it just kind of signals maybe the direction the club's going in, because they've been down there for a couple of seasons now. I think it's only a matter of time maybe before they do actually drop out of the Championship, which, you know, will be a huge disaster for Forest and their supporters.
Most definitely. Elsewhere in League One, Gillingham today confirmed they have terminated the contract of manager Justin Edinburgh. What do you think about that news?
Not overly surprising when you think of, not even, what, 9 months ago, I think it was, 9-8 months ago, they were in a really good position to achieve promotion to the Championship, and then they hit that awful bit of form that saw them drop down to mid-table. And Yeah, it's not overly surprising. They've struggled this season as well, and then, of course, the loss to Oxford yesterday, I think, as the chairman put it, was kind of the final straw for them. So, yeah, I think when you look at 2016 as a whole, it kind of had been coming, and maybe they wanted to start 2017, the second half of the season, more positively with a new face coming in and see if you can push them back up the table, because not sure if playoffs are really that achievable for them now, but you never know, as we saw with Barnsley last season.
Also today, Alan Smith, the former Leeds and Manchester United striker, of course, has been given the job at Notts County.
Yeah, caretaker manager. I think he was player coach there anyway, I think, so it's not overly surprising, but massive opportunity for him, for a Notts County team who have been horrendously out of form at the moment, to kind of kick off a potential managerial career, to see how he does.
Another man been linked with starting a managerial career has been Frank Lampard. It seems like he's going to make a decision. It seems like he's going to carry on playing. This has alerted a few Football League clubs, with Brighton.
It has, yeah. This is
the favourites.
This was a bit of a surprise because, of course, bookmakers going into the transfer window. Of course, players are always linked. He had the spell at New York City FC, the spell at Man City as well. Brighton, 9-4 favourites to sign Frank Lampard, which seems quite, you know, realistic chance of it happening according to the bookmakers, which I think it would be a huge boost for him, but it'd be a bit of a surprise. I can't really see the link as to why he'd maybe go there, but, you know, who knows?
Maybe location, just...
Potentially, just, yeah, because it's southern clubs, Crystal Palace and Chelsea, of course, are the second and third favourites. And then QPR, of course, have to be in the market because he's an ageing player at 40 to 1. But, yeah, it's a bit of a surprise and well worth watching as the January window comes to a conclusion.
And we'll end this section. Tell me about Burton Albion. You burst through the door before with some Burton news and some bizarre news about singing sections.
Yeah, Burton Albion introduced this. This is for their trip to Cardiff. So they put a thing on the website saying Burton Albion were responding to fans' requests by reserving tickets for the away trip to Cardiff for travelling supporters who wish to sing at the game. So they can book tickets in an allocated singing zone. So obviously when you go to a game, you have to, if you're a Burton Albion fan, they're trialling, if you want to sing, you've got to sit in one area. Zone. We put a poll out quickly on at FBL72 on Twitter if you want to get involved in it. 44% said yes, they do think it's a good idea, while 56% said no. So quite a few actually do see the positives in it. But for me, I think it's just bizarre. It's weird. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, manufactured. No, I'm not a fan at all. But to be fair, Burton...
What have they got to sing about?
They're not taking too many fans away from home, are they? So maybe it's a good idea for them.
Worth a try, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll send you to a Burton away game.
Oh, should we try it?
And monitor it.
I'll go for it. I'm up for that. We'll give it a go.
So we already had one of Tom's features. Now it's time for the other. The simple ones are always the best. It's good days, bad days. Very simple premise. Tom tells us which team from the Championship, League One and League Two's had a good day. And who's had a bad day? Tom, away you go.
So, yeah, good day. We'll start off as ever in the Championship. A good day, a bit of a bad day for Leeds and Huddersfield fans who were kind of getting excited at this. But Reading with a good day. 2-0 down in the 70th minute. The Royals beat Bristol City 3-2, I think, thanks to two goals from Kermigan, to keep their spot in third in the league. And it was a bad day for Derby County, who ended their run of 10 games without defeat, thanks to a 3-0 loss away to out-of-form Norwich City, dropping into League One. Good day is your team we mentioned already for Rochdale. They made it 5 wins in a row in a 2-0 victory to Walsall on Monday, and they sit 4 points off Bolton in, or 5 points off Bolton rather, in second. Bad day for Bristol Rovers, hammered 4-1 away to Charlton. Means they've lost their last 5 games away from home, conceding 14 goals in the process. And then finally in League Two, good day for Grimsby, a 3-1 away win to third place Carlisle. Moves them up to 12th in the League Two table, 5 points off Cambridge in seventh. And a bad day, spoke about them already. Notts County, 9 away losses in their last 10, led to John Sheridan losing his job at the club following that 4-0 away defeat to Cambridge. That's good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much. That is good days, bad days. We'll be back in a few moments' time to round up with a hefty amount of transfer talk. The window is open. Tom Carnduff has come alive.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
At Argos, the big sale just got bigger, with even more lines added, including great savings across tech, home, appliances, toys and more. Plus, with fast track same day delivery, buy online today, delivered to you today. Go Argos. Conditions apply. Order by 6 p.m. 90% UK coverage.
What does £29 a month get you these days? With Virgin Media, it gets you get more bang for your bundle. Up to 50 meg super fast broadband with unlimited downloads. And our clever TiVo box for Freeview and Catch Up TV. Just £29 a month for 12 months, including line rental. Activation fee £14.99. Search Virgin Media Bundles. Cable streets only. New customers on player TV bundle. Installation fee may apply. Standard pricing after 12 months, subject to credit check and further terms and conditions.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. We are doing transfer talk right now. Transfer tittle tattle officially, but we don't go for the rules. We don't go for the rules. We just have our own transfer section.
Yeah.
It's here every week, so I don't see why we should amalgamate into tittle tattle.
Okay, yeah,
maybe
fair enough.
Being rebellious. but the window, of course, is back open. A few sides doing some deals already. But Tom, let's go through some of your transfer gossip, hot off the press from your contacts up and down the country. Birmingham City will start with them. They need something because they're down in mid-table now somewhere since Gianfranco Zola took over. Not having the immediate impact, but a Crystal Palace player potentially.
Yeah, Bakary Sakho was linked with Wolves, of course. Former player for him just before the that link came just going into the January window. But Birmingham City are the latest £4 million bid for Bakary Sakho, and I think for the quality of player they're getting in return, I don't know if they'd accept it, but it'd be an absolute steal for me if they do get him. But yeah, that's come out today, and I think with with that amount of money, the bid, just can't see it happening personally.
Red Bull Leipzig, they've been linked with the Brentford striker Scott Hogan, the striker. Really coming on strong, and £15 million potentially for this man. And of course, they do have history with Oliver Burke, of course.
Mm-hmm,
going over to the Bundesliga. Can you see this happening?
I can, purely because, like you said, the Burke, he's not exactly an old player. He's only 24. He's firing him for Brentford this season. He even showed his quality really at Rochdale a couple of years ago before getting that move. And I think we put a poll about this a couple of weeks ago about, is he worth £15 million as Brentford rate him at? And 90% of people said no. And I think when you look at the goals he's got this season compared to the strikers around him who are going for that much, that seems to be the going rate for a top championship striker now. I think he probably is. He's shown his quality this season. And Red Bull Leipzig, who are flying in the Bundesliga, have noticed that talent. And, you know, I could actually see that one happening because of the history they've got with the Football League and the fact that he is really informed this season.
14 goals for the season so far. Newcastle United, interesting one this, and this is actually one of your contacts, I'm sure, is that they're not Rafa
Friend.
Benitez, but Rafa, apparently, according to Tom's sources, is going to land a massive coup by signing Joe Hart
My
from
friend.
City until the end of the
yes.
season. What's all this about?
Well, Joe Hart, this was an interesting one that came about, that Newcastle are one of the clubs that are monitoring. Of course, he's on loan until the end of the season, but if Newcastle become a Premiership or Premier League club, I can actually see that one potentially happening because Hart's already kind of suggested that he wants to play Premier League again. So it should be interesting to see if he goes up. If they do go up.
Joe Rawson's coming to the studio. He's shaking his head. We'll see how he rates this one. Huddersfield Town, give us this rumour and we'll get Joe's verdict.
Yeah, Nuremberg, they've made an offer for Nuremberg's Guido Bergstaller. Should we go for that as a name? But obvious link there with the kind of German players they've signed before, but who knows?
I hope they don't sign him, because I don't really want to be reading that.
As you can see, it's a bit of a struggle. It's a bit of a struggle, but yeah, that's, of course, an obvious link back into the German leagues for Huddersfield.
Rotherham, obviously, in desperate need of some players. Tell us about their potential business.
Yeah, Grimsby Town striker Omar Boggle. I'm not sure how we pronounce that one.
Boggle.
There we are.
Boggle.
18 goals this season in League Two. Flying. 350k from Rotherham. I think it would be a bit of a steal. I can't really see him accepting that one, but there we are. They've apparently submitted a 350k bid for him.
And maybe a slightly easier one for you to pronounce. Tell us about news from Peterborough.
Peterborough, yeah. Apparently Leonardo da Silva Lopez is set to make a move to Premier League side Spurs this window. He could be loaned back, but then Peterborough are looking at Lincoln's Alex Woodyard, who non-league fanatic Tom Feeney informs me is a very good player, and with their track record of signing non-league players, it can happen.
Tell you what, he's a good player, that Leo da Silva Lopez. Seen him a couple of times for Peterborough this season. Very lively winger. Sort of Dele Alli. poor man's Dele Alli.
Poor man's Dele Alli. There we go.
Lovely review.
As well, chucked in from Joe Rawson. Tom, thank you very much. Joe, thank you very much for your brief contribution. This has been the FL 72. The